From With Latin in the Service of the Popes, the Memoirs of Antonio Cardinal Bacci, translated by Dr. Anthony Lobello. A Monument to Garibaldi and One in Commemoration of Vatican I. Many perhaps do not realize that Pius IX, on the occasion of the celebration of the First Vatican Ecumenical Council, had planned to have a great marble and bronze monument constructed and placed on the summit of the Janiculum Hill. It was the work of various artists, and consisted of a huge base, on whose sides were represented in marble bas-relief, on the left, the solemn inauguration of the Great Assembly, with the Pope himself sitting on his throne, surrounded by the Council Fathers, and, on the right, two angels, who were holding up the triple crown and the keys, symbol of the supreme authority of the pontiff. Upon this base there was supposed to rise up a high column surmounted by a plinth, on whose sides were sculpted five monsters, symbolizing the main heresies, and, higher up, there was erected the bronze statue of St. Peter, who in one hand held the keys, the sign of his power over the whole church, and with his other hand was giving a blessing. Everything was almost ready to be set up on the Janiculum Hill, but then Rome was taken, and the Ecumenical Council suspended, and the various parts of the monument had to be placed in the Cortile della Pigna in the Vatican, where they remained until 1936. By order of Leo XIII, two marble plaques with the following inscriptions had been set into the wall above them as a memorial. Pius Nonus Pontifex Maximus Concilii Ecumenici Vaticani, ab se indicti... On Pentecost Sunday, 1936, I was summoned by the Holy Father at an unusual hour. I went at once to the audience, not only with the accustomed haste, but also with a certain anxiety, because, on account of the unusual summons, I supposed that His Holiness was going to entrust me with the composition of some encyclical or other important and urgent pontifical document. However, when I arrived, Pius XI, seeing that I was a bit out of breath and troubled, looked at me with a smile and said jokingly, which was something quite unusual for him, "Don't be afraid, noli timere. We are entrusting you with a very easy and even enjoyable task. Maybe you know," I didn't, "that our predecessor, Pius IX, had planned to erect a great monument which was to be set up on the Janiculum Hill in memory of the Ecumenical Council of the Vatican. But then came the war, the fall of Rome, and the interruption of the council, and on the Janiculum there went up instead the statue of Garibaldi. Now we, who made the latter entreaty, do not want to discomfit Garibaldi. Times have changed. But we would like a worthy place for that poor monument, which sits there in the courtyard as if it had been thrown into prison. We have therefore considered putting it in the Vatican Gardens, on that little eminence that divides the two branches of the old Leonine walls, and which is called the Observatory. We consequently entrust to you the task of composing five Latin epigraphs, which we would like to have sculpted into the plinth that supports the statue of St. Peter, precisely on the five sides that have the monsters that represent the heresies. We would like to replace the monsters, which are not even artistically admirable, with your inscriptions, which we predict will be more beautiful." Having said that, he dismissed me, wishing me a happy Pentecost. I naturally fulfilled the Holy Father's order in the best way I could, and the five inscriptions were approved and sculpted in the places indicated. They are: Vaticani Concilii Monumentum quod Pius Nonus. Whoever visits the Vatican Gardens can read these short epigraphs even today. The upper part of the commemorative monument, which was to rise on the Janiculum on the spot where the statue of Garibaldi stands today, was erected, by the order of Pius XI, on the indicated spot, that is, on the little hill called the Observatory. The great column was put to other uses. The two Latin inscriptions of Pius IX and Leo XIII were immured hard by on the inside of the Leonine walls. Four grand, graceful marble angels now lie near the hedge of box trees that surrounds the monument, and with their wings downward and their eyes toward heaven, they seem to smile serenely as they contemplate the latest developments in this matter. Some other ornamental fragments can be found here and there in the gardens, and the two great bas-reliefs, which were to be incorporated into the lower base of the monument, have been set into the outer walls of the quaint little house that was once the headquarters of the superintendent of the gardens, and is today the seat of the superintendent of Vatican excavations. It is interesting to see how one of these, the one with the pontifical triple crown held up by two angels, carries, down below, the coats of arms of two popes, Pius IX and Leo XIII, a fact which clearly indicates that some parts of this historic monument were only finished in the pontificate of the latter. When I climb back up the Vatican Hill, as I do almost every evening, I look thoughtfully on those fragments of a great historical monument, especially at the bronze statue of the first pope, St. Peter, who, from the spot of his martyrdom, turns toward the Vatican Basilica, where the Second Vatican Council is being celebrated, and blesses with his right hand, as if to guarantee for it a fruitful and salutary outcome. The course of human affairs passes and changes continually, but the Church remains, and the beneficent light of Rome shines even today on the whole world, as it did yesterday, and as it will tomorrow.